You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
So, welcome to Radio Primavera Sound. Welcome to Linoise, which is with the support of Cupra. We are here, I'm delighted to say, with Chloe Caillé. How are you doing?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I hope you don't mind that I sort of went big on with the French accent there.
No, it worked.
I studied French for so many years, like I had to put it to some use.
Well, it really worked.
So we were just talking sort of off like about how you spend your time between Ibiza and the US. And I was reading that you've kind of really got into Spanish culture, right?
100%. I fell in love with Spain. Actually, my family is part Spanish.
Right.
But I never lived in Spain until the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then I just sort of moved here, started making music with a lot of Spanish artists and just kind of fell in love with the culture, the music culture, the people here, the creativity. It's a brilliant, brilliant country.
I mean, in terms of like music culture, what specifically do you like?
I just love the rhythmic, I love the rhythms that people use in music, and generally I'd say in Spanish type, like in Spanish music. I love sort of flamenco. I love the sort of more old school Spanish sound, but also a lot of the new artists that are coming out right now in the Spanish scene, I just find really, really eclectic and interesting. It's like a new sort of wave of its own, I feel.
And what's life like in Ibiza?
It's really chill, off season. you know, I think it's great whilst we have no clubs open, but the minute clubs open, it attracts millions of people, which is amazing, but it's definitely a different version of the island.
Yeah, and you must have been to Barcelona many times, right?
Many times, yeah.
Okay. What's better, Ibiza or Barcelona?
Uncomparable. It's an island versus a coast, a city coast, coast city. I don't know how to say that, but yeah.
So you just played and you're playing again on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I'm playing again on Sunday at the brunch stage at 4:30 p.m. I can't remember exactly.
Brunch is for people who are like, yeah, I've had 3 days. And it's like, yeah, just one more day of dancing would do me good.
Yeah, but they bring the best energy to brunch. It's pretty crazy. Like, I'm always looking at people. I'm like, how do they still have energy to keep going? It's
no.
Mad. I guess Spanish people don't stop, but also Primavera is super international. So people really want to experience it all.
So you've been touring your Smile concept club night.
Yes.
I have said that right, isn't it? Because it's got an extra
it
L.
Is. It's just Smile, but yeah. With like a big smile.
Okay, good. I haven't been because I'm very old and have children. But like, what is the concept behind it?
The concept is just basically that I wanted to create my sort of dream club night and tour it around the world in cities that I love, to work with artists that I love, and to create kind of safe spaces for different people from different communities to come and feel free to be who they want to be, but also listen to great artists, discover artists, listen to music on good sound systems in clubs, and just, yeah, have a great time and dance.
Because we were talking earlier again, like about how the sound, you had a bit of a sound problem before and you were kind of fixing it out live. Like, do you go into that kind of detail when you're putting on like a Smile night? Are you like, okay, I'm going to shine this mirror ball, or you're going to, you know?
I mean, honestly, 100% for me, sound is kind of everything. I feel like I've been to different clubs where there's been amazing DJs playing, but the sound isn't quite so there. And I feel like a lot of the experience can be lost. And I feel like when you go into a club and the sound just hits you right in every part, it's a completely different experience. And it also makes the DJs want to play, I feel like, up to par with the sound that they're able to play on.
So if it was for me and I had my own kind of club night, I would be like a sort of, you know, kid in a candy store with the DJs I want to get played. How do you choose? Like,
It takes so long to build lineups for me. I mean, I'm such a big fan of so many artists at the minute. You know, I grew up listening to music. Music's always been a core part of my DNA. And right now, the fact that I get to choose is like, it's really stressful because I'm like, right, I need to tell a story. I also need to book people that I really believe are going to be a part of our community, part of our family. But also, you know, it's like everyone that comes, I really want them to feel like they want to be there as well, you know? So it's a combination of a lot of things, but ultimately I want to tell a story throughout the night and kind of help build, you know, so when people walk in the room from the beginning till the end, they're always kind of in some kind of musical journey or vortex or wherever they want to go with it.
What were your musical obsessions as a child?
I have to say rock and roll was like my day one sort of love. Bands like Pink Floyd, big fan of Dire Straits with my family, the Rolling Stones. Kind of classic rock was like a big thing in my house. And then I moved into a bit more underground, weirder, psychedelic, garage rock. And that kind of led.
And then I think I was reading you got into Ed Banger and dubstep, right?
I did. When I was about 15 living in Paris, the Ed Banger scene had kind of just started being the biggest dominant in kind of the clubs. And that's when I started partying. So suddenly it was this sound that kind of Justice, who's playing tonight, was just fueling that. And I just remember hearing all these kind of productions that were a lot of them rooted in rock music as well, with sort of, you know, the synth sounds, the guitars and all this stuff. And I remember being like, wow, this is different and cool. And then I moved to Bristol during that time, where dubstep and drum and bass, you know, were kind of the most, the biggest sounds that during then. So I ended up getting into dubstep, but by accident. It was just because I was living in Bristol. At the time, dubstep was, you know, Scream, Benga, Rusko were kind of in there. And suddenly my friends were like, we're going out. And then I just, you know, started listening to this. And it was, that was the sound. It was crazy.
Because you went to boarding school in the UK, right?
I did. I ended up going to music school, which was like a jazz conservatory. And it ended up being really interesting experience to kind of be in a music school in the UK surrounded by, I was like in the middle of nowhere. It was really wild, but it was really cool.
Smile is also your label.
Yeah, it's my label.
And your latest single was Last One for Today.
Yes.
With Nara. It's massively energetic.
Yes, I like energy.
You've collaborated with quite a lot of people. And what do you look for in a collaboration? Do they have to be like someone you get on with? Do you have to go for like dinner first, or can you do it by email, or?
No, I would say I'm more of a social collaborator, in the sense that I like to get to know people a little bit and to know that there will be some kind of connection. I've had the opposite, where I've gone into sessions that have just been just really awkward and weird, and you just kind of sit around, and like from the minute you start working, you're like, this isn't going anywhere. And I just rather not put myself in those situations. So I like to kind of get to know someone before. I don't mean extensively, but at least have a minute of a hang, or, you know, I don't think I've ever worked with anyone I haven't met before or spent a minute speaking to or kind of sharing ideas and knowing that we're on the same page.
I have to ask, what on earth was it like to play Madison Square Garden?
Oh my God. I mean, as a New Yorker, like, I just couldn't believe it. And my whole family came, and it was just one of the most surreal experiences. I think I kind of shut down because I was so nervous.
It's like 20,000 people?
It's more, it's like 36,000.
36,000.
And it's so crazy because, you know, you're playing and you look up and the seats kind of go so high up, you can't even see the top. So I just kept looking down at the people in front of me because I was like, I don't want to keep looking up. This is terrifying. But it was good. Difficult sound because it's a stadium and it wasn't quite full yet. So the sound was kind of bouncing around. So it was just like, it was a crazy, crazy, crazy experience.
Was there a moment though, at the end of your set, you're like, okay, last song's on, that you just like allowed yourself to look up and be like, oh my God.
Yeah, I looked up and I took it in and I was like, I just can't believe that I'm here right now. This is like, you know, as a young kid growing up in New York City and like going to Madison Square Garden for gigs or for actually sports games.
Yeah.
I never thought in my mind that I'd be playing at Madison Square Garden. And my dad was there. And it was just like, just this very surreal moment of like, I guess I'm at Madison Square Garden and I had a lanyard. It was just all kind of surreal.
And did your dad enjoy it? Was he into it?
Yeah, super. My whole family came down, my sisters, my dad, my stepmom.
Talking of New York, you have a song called New York, What the Fuck? Oh, stylized as NYWTF. How would you answer that particular question? New York, what the fuck?
I mean, New York, what the fuck? Like, what? I don't even, like, New York is a what the fuck moment constantly. Like, I feel like after living there basically most of my life, I still go to New York and still get surprised by what I see on an hourly basis there. You know, it's one of the most wildly eclectic and spontaneous and just wild cities I think there is in the world, to be honest.
Well, talk to me about spontaneity. What's like the sort of most spontaneous thing you've seen?
So many things. I mean, like the other day, I guess I was sitting at a cafe, just having a coffee, not coffee because I don't drink coffee, but like a tea. And there was literally like just a dog on a skateboard that just went past me. And you know, you do a double take and you're like, did I actually just see this? And it's like, actually what just happened? And actually a lot of times, like New York, just that's normal. No one even looks, you know, people just assume that, like, you know, the other day I was also there and I just saw this rat that kept coming up and trying to kind of get up this postman's foot. And he couldn't kind of even notice it until I was like, you have a rat climbing up your leg. And he just didn't do anything. He was just there and kind of pushed it away. And the rat kept coming. And the fourth time he finally like kind of pushed it off. But just so casually, I was like, is anyone else seeing this? You know, like this is just so, it's a what the fuck moment, you know?
Because I always thought like that they did really care, but they just kind of affected not to, but they just genuinely don't care. It's like, that's a new rat, you know?
I just think people in New York are so busy that they don't pay attention to the little things that are happening around. And people are so not afraid to kind of be who they want to be and do things that they just kind of get up to all sorts of things that are out of norm. But publicly, they're not afraid to be who they are in public.
That's the second, I was just thinking the second interview in 2 days where we ended up speaking about rats.
Whoa.
I've got an awful question. You can feel free to ignore it if you like, because this is, for a DJ, this is bad and good, I think. But like, what's your DJ secret weapon?
Ooh, as a track?
Yeah.
You know what? It has to be I Feel Love by Donna Summer. I feel like that's a track that is just timeless, and I have so many edits of it, and I've played it in probably so many different kinds of parties around the world. And it's just one of those universal tracks that just seems to go off everywhere because the lyrics are quite simple to sing and the melody is just quite simple to know about.
Your own edits or like other people though?
I've got a few of other people's. I've got an edit that I kind of did my own remaster of the original, and I just, based on where I am, I tend to play different versions of the edits.
Oh, that's quite something.
Yeah.
What version for Barcelona?
Depends. I have a good one by this guy called Ben Evers, who kind of made a more high energy, a bit faster edit that's really, really good.
I want to ask if I might about remixing Beck.
Yeah.
He's Beck's song Chemical. I mean, Beck's amazing. Really great remix. How did it happen?
Beck and I were friends for a minute from Los Angeles. I used to live there for a bit. And when we were there, we ended up kind of having a long talk about French touch and sort of French artist. And he told me about all of his collaborations with Air, who are one of my favorite bands of all time. And, you know, he's just quite in with a lot of French artists. I guess he was part of a lot of this sort of French touch scene. Mm. And he just told me he was releasing a new album. And he was like, hey, do you want to remix a track? Like, I'm looking for a remixer. And at that time, I was literally nobody. I had no profile. I think that was like one of my first ever releases on Spotify. But he was like, I like your vibe. Let's just do it. Here's the stems. And then like a week later, the stems were in my WhatsApp. And I was like, whoa. And then I had like, I opened the stems and it was like Beck's voice. And I was like, this is weird. I don't know what to do with this.
But was it intimidating? Like, or did you just like, okay, I can do
it? No, I mean, it was, you know, it was intimidating, but we had quite a nice friendship at that point. So I trusted that if he trusted in me, I'd be able to deliver something. But it was definitely a moment of like, how am I going to better use these stems to kind of create a new version of what Beck's already done? And it was a pretty surreal moment so early on. And I feel like that record's actually kind of forgotten, which is interesting you bring it up today.
It's forgotten, is it?
I've never played it. Like I've never played it in my. I haven't played it in my sets in maybe like 3 years.
All right.
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
I need to play it again.
I was interested to see that you did a music business degree, kind of to please your parents, right?
100%. It was all for mom and dad.
And then you worked for a label and you worked in management. Does that mean you've got like a very sort of level-headed approach to everything, you know, everything kind of musical?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that for me, a lot of my parents really wanted me to kind of pursue more of a business thing because they didn't really think that an artistic career was means to having a sort of, you know, life that you could afford for them. I think artists, you know, my family don't come from an artistic background. So when I told them I wanted to be a musician, they freaked out. But when I said music business, they were like, okay, that's cool. Like, we understand that a bit more. And I basically tried every single job in the kind of industry that you could, until kind of doing a 360 and coming back to just doing my artistic career. And that's when I just felt the happiest. And I think they kind of just saw that and were like, okay, go for it. But they were not happy with the fact that I was, you know, I'm going to be a DJ. They were like late nights, you know, partying. Oh my God. But they're happy now. They actually come to most of the shows that they can.
Amazing. But are they here?
They're not here, no. But yeah, they do come a lot.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming along. 4 o'clock? Was it Sunday or four?
It's 4 or 4:30. I can't 100% remember.
4:30, yes. That kind of time. If you think you haven't got any energy, you have. And if you don't have any energy, you'll get some.
100%.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.